understanding the lifestyle, the activities, the motives that are pleasing to the Lord, which is a medium for the Lord to interact with his devotees. That would be your, you know, strictest sense of saying Vedic. But because Vedic is being applied in the material world, Vedic means it's based on the Veda. You have to understand Veda is not just something that's, you know, local here that's kicked around and gets old and dusty. One of Krishna's 64 qualities is that he always does everything according to the Shastra. Right? And when we say Shastra, we mean Veda. In Krishna's pastimes, they talk about the different Shastras. We see in Krishna's book that Nanda Baba, right, when Krishna's young, before he's gone to Mathura and Dwarka, is saying that in the Bhagavad Gita it says, because the Gita's always been there. Right? Krishna says he first spoke it to the sun god, and then it came down. So since that time, Nanda Baba is quoting it. Right? It's just been lost to the general mass of personalities. He's quoting Gita. Right? So this knowledge is not something that isn't there in the spiritual world. It's the natural lifestyle. It's the natural, medium of expression, of relationship, of affection between the devotees and the Lord. So, then that is reflected into the material world. Now, in the material world, then people are not necessarily interested in serving God with pure, unalloyed devotion. That's not why they came here. Right? Does that make sense? Like you go to a restaurant, it's not full of people who are interested in fasting. Right? So the material world is not full of people who are here because they just wanted to come here to serve the Lord. That was their intent. Right? They're here because they didn't want to serve. So that means, but one has to remember, very important, is that when one chooses to come to the material world, one is attracted by that particular expression of interaction. Right? What is this expression? The expression is, we're the center. Right? Well, spiritual, or the original culture, means Krishna's the center. So you have to remember, we came here not because we didn't like the Vedic culture. We came here is that we didn't like that the center of the Vedic culture was Krishna, and not us. Right? So, therefore, coming here, the jiva actually expects that everything's going to work like it does in the spiritual world. The only difference is we're the center, not Krishna. That's all. So the same needs, same desires, same everything, right? Means in the spiritual world you have five rasas, you know, primary rasas. Is there a sixth one here? Or there's only four, not five? Right? Spiritual world, they have five senses. How many do we have here? Over there they got a head, two arms, and two legs. How many do they have here? You understand? This is the whole point. So it's actually fruitless to try to find another approach. Vedic's old, Vedic's this, Vedic's that, Vedic's so many things that I just don't want to do because I can't stick it between two pieces of bread and eat it. Does that make sense? So the idea is that, but when it comes here, then the Vedic is expressed in very broad sense. Because in Braj, Vedic simply means serving Krishna according to authority. Right? But here, that service according to authority does not necessarily mean that Krishna is what we're trying to catch. So those different interpretations on the Vedic authority that can be taken as the broader sense of the Vedic. Right? So then you get all the different schools of philosophies, your different sampradayas, even within those schools, all these different aspects. Does this make sense? So their interpretation of the Veda, depending upon what they want to do with it, where do they want to go, what's their goal, how do they actually identify themselves, to what degree are they not God, and to what degree is Krishna God? Right? So all that then will make for the broadest range of Vedic. So in this case, he's specifically pointing out that within Vedic, he means Vedanta. Right? Means the end of knowledge, that the perfection of knowledge is to know the Lord. Right? The Vedanta is coming from the Upanishads. We see Ishupanishad. The whole point is to know ourself and know the Lord in that relationship. How to act within that. How to reveal the Lord practically in our life. So that's Vedanta. So that means Vedantic, or this, Vedantic psychology would mean that through this understanding, through the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, you can understand your relationship with Krishna. Right? And so, how to remove all those obstacles that are thrown up by the mind, because the mind somehow or another is still attached to the idea, great, I'll be a great devotee of Krishna, everything will work nicely, it'll be fabulous, there'll be no problems, everything will be very prosperous and wonderful, and all that, but I'll somehow or another still be the center of attention. Right? Like that. So, that kind of a thing then is what we're trying to get, correct. Right? So this is the psychology that we're dealing with. Does that make sense? Why we use the terminology? Because otherwise sometimes these terminologies are loosely thrown around because there's no specific definition. You know, like that. So then here it's very specific because up to now we see is we're just quoting Bhagavatam, Gita, our acharyas, and from that understanding very fine intricacies of the mind, how it's functioning. Right. Yeah. Okay. So now we brought it up to the point of that we're seeing that the mind being, derived in the creation from the mode of goodness, its natural situation is in the mode of goodness, how it will best function and get the best result will be in the mode of goodness. So, but that's just a basic situation. Its actual function will be in connection with Adiruddha, the Lord of goodness, so the origin of goodness, the origin of the mind. So then, seeing this, that means everything that you see and interpret should be seen in connection with Krishna. Whatever it is that you're attracted and attached to should be connected to Krishna. So now in dealing with this attachment, then it's very important to make that connection to Krishna, no matter what it is. Right? If by understanding the uselessness of something, or the unimportance and the more importance of something else, and the mind accepts that and moves on from it, the process is very simple. It's only that much. The Krishna conscious process remains at that level. Oh, this is useless. So, you know, smoking, drinking, all that's useless. It won't help me going back to Godhead. And that's my goal, so therefore I don't bother with it. It's done. Right? So then that's very easy. So the psychological process is going very smoothly, very straightforward, and very easy. But now when this becomes a difficulty, then when the technicality that is there, that the mind is not necessarily taking advantage of the intelligence, so it's not using any kind of logic other than just somehow or another we want. Right? And because we want, we act. So there's some identity there in connection. We see that this want is actually going to fulfill our need. Then at that point, this technicality of the psychology must be addressed more carefully. It's still directly the philosophy, doesn't become something else. So then, then we start to dismantle what is wrong with the thing, why it's not so important. Because you're trying to break down the mind's absorption in the thing, where the thing becomes, enters the mind. Right? As we discussed, the mind will contemplate the field of activity. Whatever it is your specific field that you see, right? It's not what someone else sees, it's what you see that's important, right? It's self-realization, not everybody else's realization, right? That's for, you know, the puritanical moralists. It's everybody else. The society for realizing everybody else is, you know, got a problem. No, this is for realizing ourself, right? So that means is what field you see, that's what you have to deal with. Not what you're supposed to see, what you'd like to see, but what you are seeing. If by what you should see, and you that means that then works for you, then that's what you do. But if it doesn't, you have to take what you see. So you see this field, and somehow or another in this field you find an identity. To maintain that identity, you then perceive everything in that field in a particular way. And from that, you will get particular results that make you happy. And that's why you're inspired to do activities. Right? So now if you can, by contemplating the uselessness of it, right? This is the element of renunciation. If you see the uselessness of it, and therefore the mind will drop it, great. Then it's just been taken to the next step, but the technicality is still pretty straightforward and simple. Right? But it's purely the platform of gyan. So if it works, why use more? Right? In other words, why for something useless use karma? Does that make sense? Because karma means an action, it's an application. So if it's useless, you just keep to the intellectual platform, see it's useless, drop it. By contemplation of how it is useless. The other one is you've heard it's useless from authority, right? So you drop it. This one is you have to contemplate how it's useless and then drop it. Right? Does that make sense? That's why, on this stage, this is why so much of the time than anything to do with the senses, the devotees don't have anything good to say about it. Why? Because they're using this process to drop its importance in their life. Otherwise, why would somebody even mention it? Does that make sense? If it's not in your field, why would you mention it? Right? Little kids are sitting around talking about the world economics and politics and all that, and therefore when they play, that they're kings and ministers, then they're working out all these problems. No, because it's not their field. They don't even notice it. So know it that the field, that what you're talking about is what the field that you're working with. Right? So if you're talking about all those people and their sense gratification and the nonsense, that's your field. Otherwise you wouldn't be talking about it. So now that approach to the field has to be in connection with Krishna. So therefore, you're taking it, seeing its uselessness, not for serving Krishna, that aspect, with the idea of dropping it. Right? If that works, nice. But remember, it's self-realization, not how to get everybody else to do all the things I think they should do. Right? Now, if that doesn't work, then we're getting into the technicality of what's going on here. Right? Because psychology is not necessary. We don't separate or isolate it if we're dealing with a sane situation. Right? We get out psychology when we're dealing with insanity. Remember. Right? Otherwise, why deal with it? You're dealing with pots, putting them nicely in the kitchen. You know, you're a kitchen helper and doing these things. If you're dealing with dirty pots, you're a pot washer. Does that make sense? You deal with a dirty pot different than a clean pot. You're dealing with pots. But the nature of it, the tools of it change because of its situation of not being usable. So when the mind becomes annoying, then these techniques are used. In that we're seeing, okay, here's the field, and from that I am identifying in this field. Because of that, my absorption in it, those things have entered then very deeply into the mind. They become my attraction and attachments. Therefore, the basis of all my action. Right? Then it's a matter of, okay, now just itself, its aspect of karma, that it's not useful for us in Krishna consciousness, means looking at it from that angle, means from a point of detachment, means it's jnana, the jnana mark. But you're contemplating karma. Right? Does that make sense? In action. So, then now we're going into it, is that I am absorbed in this particular aspect of the field. So now, how is that functioning actually? Because I'm not giving up the idea that it's important. I still think it's important. Okay, so if I think it's important, what is important about it? Does that make sense? Instead of wrestling with it or running away from it, now you're looking it straight in the eyes for what it actually is. Right? So now this attachment, what really is it? Because what are you going to be attached to? It's going to be some form of dead matter, no? It's going to be within the 24 elements, right? If you're here. It means if I'm not noticing and you're not touching the ground here, then please ignore this comment. But other than that, then you're dealing with 24 elements. So since when, as we were mentioning before, as you'll only see things that are according to your need, since when does dead matter have any need or interest for the spirit soul? They have nothing in common. Right? There's no interest. Dead matter is not going to get you anything. Oh, my dear rock, without you, you know, my whole life, everything's about without you in my life. You know, I mean, how much are you going to go like that? You understand? So just because, you know, it becomes animated and even talks, doesn't mean it's any different than this piece of rock. You understand? So it's not the rock that's attracting the attention. It's not the body, it's not the hair, it's not the skin, it's not the glitter, the shine. It's something else. So now, what is it? Now it's being pointed out by Shastra, it's Krishna himself. Not as Braja Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna says, by a spark of his splendor, he maintains his place. You know, it's a completely dead place. It doesn't take much to keep it going. You're dealing with dead matter, a little bit of life in it, you know, then everybody's jumping up and down. Right? It's not self-effulgent. So, Krishna has entered it. So what it is you're attracted to in this particular aspect of the field that has absorbed itself so much in your mind that you can't deal with it, you know, in the natural, straightforward Krishna conscious method. Now you have to approach it and see, well, it actually is Krishna. It's not what I think it is. Right? And so if understanding that it's Krishna's potency that's making it attractive, and therefore take that item and use it in Krishna's service if it's usable, right? But if not, drop it. Because now you're saying, well, actually, it's Krishna. So I can get attracted to Krishna in much better forms than this. Does that make sense? So that's your next stage. Then, if that works, nice. Now, if still it's having a problem, because we have to remember is that Prabhupada defines insanity as basically attachment to the point of, dysfunctionality. Right? Because the more you become attached, if the intelligence is not at work, you can't even deal with your attachment properly. You know, you can't function normally. Right? So normal function is being able to engage the senses in the field of activities in a progressive way. Right? And that progressive is defined by authority. We don't make it up. You know, we're sorry about that. You know, don't want to disappoint anybody, but somehow or another. So now the next thing is that, okay, we are looking at it that I'm dealing with this aspect of the field of activity. The senses and the sense objects are interacting. But I'm taking it that I'm the controller and enjoyer. But if it's Krishna is dealing there, if it's Krishna that's the potency, the point is we're never the controller and enjoyer of Krishna. We're always the assistant, the servant of Krishna. So that means, who are we serving, right? Gopi Bhartu Padakamala, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. The servant of the servant of the servant. That means we would be assisting in the Lord's potencies in pleasing Him. Right? So now, what would Krishna have within dead matter? What's going to be there for Him? Anything? Nothing. Right? He's not an illusion. And it's His dead matter anyway. So that means the Sarup Shakti has expanded herself. As He has transformed and expanded into the material creation, she also is there, appropriately interacting with Him on the particular level of manifestation of qualities that He is performing. So what quality He's manifesting, she is then creating the environment and the activities and results that are pleasing to Him. Does that make sense? Let us say, Krishna is beautiful, okay? Or let's say, all attractive. So now, He's all attractive. Great. Right? That's nice. It's a good quality. So Prabhupada mentions Krishna on His own is not that beautiful, not that good looking. He's okay. Right? But when His internal potency expands, there's something different. Right? I'll take it that basically most everybody here has been to Vrindavan. Right? Okay, now in Vrindavan you have Krishna Balaram on the middle altar. They look good, no? But if you just look at Krishna there and then just move over and look at Radhe Shyam, there's a very difference in mood. Why? Because the internal potency is expanded. You understand? So now if He's going to be attractive, how does He just be attractive? In a vacuum? Right? And do you appreciate beauty or attractiveness in a non-attractive environment? No. So appropriate for attractiveness is an attractive environment. Therefore, the internal potency will create an attractive environment, Vrindavan, you know, within that specifically attractive for the relationship that's there, right? A nice big house and courtyard and all kinds of servants and all kinds of household paraphernalia from Mother Jashoda's attraction to Krishna. Or a nice forest and lots of open space and cows and other boys and lunches and everything for the cowherd boys. Nice kunjas and romantic areas within Braja and in the forest and next to the Jamuna for the gopis. Right? Then within that, then according to what his mood is, then they have something. Right? He's got some attitude, he's young, he's fired up, you know, there's the good-looking girls, and then they're over there, you know, not looking at him and telling him, you know, which bridge he can jump off of. Right? Does that make sense? It matches. So, that's what the internal potency does. He's manifesting qualities, they then follow that. And based upon then what they do, he responds to that. And then taking that lead, then they react again. Like this, it eternally goes on. Does that make sense? So now, if Krishna's come as a potency in the material world, Krishna's come as this, the strength in this pillar, then what's Lakshmi going to do to support that, to serve that? If it's strength, then there must be something that strength can be shown through. So therefore, she's the brick, she's the mortar. Right? And unfortunately for us, she's the bits of cement that we didn't bother to wash off in time. Right? That's our bad, right? So, does that make sense? So therefore, it could be manifest as a nicer pillar. If we had done our service to Lakshmi in assisting Krishna, manifesting the quality of strength. Does that make sense? Yeah? Or if we're taking it as accomplishment, we can reverse this. Then the pillar itself is the strength and everything like that. It's getting something done, holding up the building. So Lakshmi is holding up the building and all that to please Krishna in his manifestation as a pillar. Does this make sense? So now, what has happened here? Before that, we're using our intelligence, that we are identifying that this is not for me. Right? Whether it's for Krishna or not is another thing, but it's not for me, so it's useless for devotional service, therefore I've dropped it. Or broader of the point, it's Krishna's potency, so therefore that's what I'm absorbed in. I don't need to, you know, get and be the controller and enjoy. If I don't see that, then I take it all the way inside. What is actually going on? That's what's actually going on. Lakshmi and Narayan are interacting, and their pastime is this pillar. And it's going to go on whether you're there or not. It just happens to be here. You happen to have the building in your control, or so-called control. So you think it's my pillar. No, it's their pillar. We can assist in their interaction by appropriately dealing with that pillar. You understand? So now we've re-identified ourselves because we couldn't do it before. I'm servant of Krishna, therefore I don't get involved in this. Now we bring it down to there isn't something else. You have no control. You are no enjoyer in this interaction. It's already going on. You're there, not there, it's going to go on. If you're the controller and enjoyer, why is it when you sell the building, walk away, the building doesn't collapse? Because it's got nothing to do with you. Right? So we can appropriately assist in that. Then it's a matter of you brought it back to the interaction, because that's our problem. We want to interact with it. We want to be the center, the controller, the enjoyer. So now we're not, we're assistant. So then we brought it down to this level. Okay? Having gotten to this level, now one is seeing the Lord in the mundane element that you are working with. And at this point, you don't look at what it is. You know what I'm saying? If we're dealing on this level of psychological, introspection, it doesn't matter what it is, because once if you're working at this level, the thing you're dealing with is bad. You know what I'm saying? Because if you've had to take it to this level, it means you're really attached, and there's a good chance that we're not necessarily attached to the most pious things. We might be, but we might not be. So that's the point. At this point, piety, impiety isn't the question. The question is what are the actual interactions of the potencies here? Right? Here, just one second. So that interaction of the potencies, then the next day, so we're seeing it, that what's really going on, so that breaks this whole cycle of it becoming more and more entangled, because then it's dealing with the Lord. So we're seeing the Lord here. But it doesn't stop there. This is simply the Brahman understanding of Krishna's potencies and his interaction, his pastimes. It's not Bhagavan. Until you get the Bhagavan and Prema, you're not there. You have not arrived. Does that make sense? So then the next stage is once one's seeing this, one's comfortable with this, that one is able to see, means with this perception, then it breaks just direct tumbling just into material entanglement. It stops that. It neutralizes it. But now one has to bring it forward again. Right? It has to move forward. That's not enough. You can't say, well, I've done that, so now it's great, so it doesn't matter what I'm dealing with. No. Now it's a matter of moving it forward. Right? So the next step that is being brought up is the real truth is that why is Lakshmi? It's sacrifice. That's what she does for Krishna. So now what are you? Now you have to then connect this to Krishna that is being used for his pleasure. Right? Not just on the neutral state, but now on the positive. The element of sacrifice. So therefore, what's going on here is it's being done for his pleasure. Right? So pillar is there holding up the ceiling because that makes Krishna happy. Right? You ever noticed in Vrindavan right? There are pillars there, right? Nice pillars. And they're holding up buildings. Why? Why would that be? Right? You know, because, you know, Smith and Johnson is a great, you know, architectural firm, and that's why it's going on? Right? No, it's because Krishna likes this method of manifestation of his energies. That environment. He likes columns. He likes buildings. They're very nice ways that people can interact. Does that make sense? So that means then, whatever is there, it has to be used in his service. So one starts off then, that element of connecting it to him. Not just now as static, in the way of just seeing the working of the potencies, but dynamic, that now I am engaging it, or assisting in its activity in connection with Krishna. Okay? Now when you get to this point, the intelligence will start working again. Up to this point, of course, it's taken intelligence to do this, but it's simply been part of the process. It hasn't been dynamic. But at this point, it becomes dynamic, because as soon as that, because the intelligence discriminates between things. So now, if that's it, now, then it's a matter of, you know, Krishna in this form and rendering service to him through this form, you know, with those potencies that are in that form, is that really a great service? You understand? How does that compare to fully absorbed in his name, form, quality, and pastimes in the spiritual world with his pure devotees? Then we start to see, well, there's a bit of a gap between where they are. So then it's a matter of making progress. Okay, what's the next step? The next step? The next step? I'm working with this now, but it's not ideal. It's not now where you just justify. You know, it's okay, it's connected to Krishna, so I'm okay. That's not good enough. I'm okay is not good enough. We're trying to get it, is Krishna okay? Right? We notice that I'm okay, you're okay. There wasn't anything about Krishna being okay. So it works as a first step. Right? I'm okay. I could figure out, you know, hey, I'm here. I still got arms, legs, it's still all here. You're okay. You know, okay, I notice that somebody else other than myself exists. And you're okay. It's not that I'm okay and you're here to help my okayness. Right? You're actually seeing. So that's great. But the point is where's the original okay? Right? So it has to be taken progressively back. In other words, our consciousness is going into the material energy. We have to stop it and turn it around so it's going out of the material energy. That's the process. So this Vedanta psychology is how to do that. How to just take it and analyze. So, I mean, what we discuss here is the process in a nutshell. Right? He'll get into more and more finer detail of this, but it's not something different. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, yeah. So now we have seen, now he is the controller and enjoyer. So then that will then establish the mind. So now it's a matter of intelligence and making that progress. Okay, now I deal with it now, because we're working on the level of karma. We're applying the intelligence, so it becomes Bhuti Yoga. But it's karma, and by applying it with practice, it will bring one forward. Does that make sense? Until we get whatever is this object that is completely off the radar in devotional service, up to the point where it's either dropped or properly, nicely engaged. Right? Depending upon what it is. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, there are different stages, obviously, right? From the black, the white, and the middle area, the gray mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. That means if I observe externally a person grabbing the rock, as you mentioned, I have a relationship with it completely. crazy, right? Then the same person, a devotee, Rasa, Chalagram, Shila, or Govardhan, I have those relationships, and I don't understand, but still I see a similar external aspect that is an internal motivation, an ambition, a consciousness, totally different. So in this gray area, there are so many elements which complicate according to each individual. We cannot find a specific form, a specific particular form or formula for everything.
No, formula you can find. Form is varied. Formulas are set.
Yeah, let's say that is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. We have this formula. It is still applied at the way that each of one. The question is this particular element where each individual analyzes his own position, where it starts to take place, and not judging as you were explaining the others, start to take place the comprehension of that our national dharma exists in my body and everybody else because the mood of material nature. And then if I progress into that, I can enter into Vaidhavana Nashama where I can practice.
Oh, how to use that and connect it into Vaidhavana Nashama. Yes. Excuse me one second. Hari Bol, sir, for your class. Okay, Hari Bol. So, see, is the Daivavarna Ashram will be the transcendental, let's see, it's natural form, but for this we'll say the transcendental manifestation of the Vedic culture in the material world. So that is a platform of where the field becomes in line with authority, right? And therefore, its use in Krishna's service for his satisfaction is more natural, or is the basis, right? Vedic culture means that what you're dealing with has its natural connection to Krishna, right? So, dealing outside of this means that one's basically dealing with something that is, its form is by nature not pious. Right?
Right. Also, the specific aspect is how individually, also not only social, but as an observer, but observing my own predisposition to that service.
Okay.
Find
that. How to get the individual? Because the point is as we were saying, when you get it down to seeing it's Krishna and his energies working. And then what service would I be rendering here by dealing with this item of attachment? Then it becomes a matter of once that's understood, the element of sacrifice, then you start to compare it to other things that are elements of sacrifice, like your japa, or going to Mangalarti, or cooking for the deities. Then one may start to see that there's quite a distance between that position, your position, and that position that's recommended as, you know, your natural sadhana bhakti. So then one's going to see is, first of all, is that the quality of it, the quality of what you're attached to and its interaction is very low. Right? Like that. It may be high also. Like that. I'm just taking it, you know, from my perspective, being, you know, how you say, from the background we're from, you know. But it may be one's, you know, very, you know, Hindu and pious and all those kind of thing. And so one's just misunderstood that those, that attraction and things and all these pious, nice religious activities is actually Krishna. And so, therefore, then it becomes very easy to connect those and it's not so difficult. The difficulty comes, but it is difficult because of the mode of goodness one gets attracted and everything. More difficult is when the form of it or its results or its application is not pious. Right? So many we find get distracted from devotional service because of that. Its impious form, not its pious form. Like that. So you know, you do still see some people can't take up Krishna consciousness seriously because of their duties to the family and everything's going so nicely and, you know, the worship in the house and, you know, respecting the elders and doing all those nice, nice things that, you know, a good, you know, follower of the Vedic culture would be doing. And so there's millions of those people. You go into any kind of, you know, especially religious center, you know, Varanasi, Hardwar, but anywhere where cultured people are, there's a lot of that. But that would be, if they can understand this, very easy for them to correct. If they do, bang, they're way ahead. You know, they're way ahead. You know, it's like the, how you say, the hare. It's way ahead, but it's fallen asleep. So if you can wake it up, it's right next to the finish line. Right? But if not, if one has been influenced by this modern society, then the individual's tastes in that many times aren't exactly, or the forms that aren't exactly what you call pious. So then it's a matter of seeing, okay, right now I'm working with this impious manifestation, which obviously when you compare it on this level is inferior. It just becomes so obvious of its inferiority. Because as soon as you actually bring Krishna and Lakshmi into this, then you start really seeing that your interaction with this on the platform that you're involved is really inferior. Before it seems something very nice, but it's pretty not so nice. Right? Then one will start to see, well, what would be, you know, as long as that attachment is still there, what would be a better form to work this through? In other words, I have to actually be seeing the qualities and potencies at work here in my what I'm attached to. And then find those same potencies in a higher form. Right? Because beauty is there in everything. But I'm telling you, these, you know, really wild, you know, how you say, you know, Brazilian, you know, beetles, you know, that are there with wild colors and horns and, you know, teeth, they think each other looks really good. Right? You know, just like when the Mardi Gras hits the street, there's some wild stuff. They think they look great. You know, like that. So it's just a matter of, okay, so it's Krishna's form of beauty or attraction. Now, by my being a Krishna conscious and hearing about this range, what would be a better form where I can still deal with my attachments? Now, I don't throw it out the window. That's what Maharaj made in the beginning. Is you're not stopping the mind, you're redirecting it. So I'm attached to this kind of beauty. You know, I got on the white face, the black eyeliner, I got studs all over anywhere I can find something that's not going to get in the way, you know, and, you know, I got my unlaced bobber boots on and all these different kinds of stuff. And so, you know, what would be a little bit nicer manifestation of, you know, attraction or, you know, being cool or being powerful or confident, right? And so, therefore, then you try to move it up. And seeing that, then see that in something higher. By doing that, the purification is there. One can see the next level stage up. Take it. And then working with that, take the next stage. Until it comes, however many stages away it is from, you know, something proper within Daiva Varnashram. But the point is it's not ideal if you have to go through 10 stages, but if that's the reality, you do it. You don't say, oh, I don't, or it's not great, or that's nonsense. It is nonsense, but the point is that's what you got to deal with. You know? So to then rationalize and say, this is fine, that's nonsense. Or to ignore it, that's also not useful. So this is maturity in self-realization. Understanding where we are and where we're trying to get to. Does that make sense? Do we see what we're dealing with here, these processes? Right. We got about 2 minutes, yes.
Just going on from that point, yes, that we become the assistant of the energy?
Yes, we become the assistant.
One place, I can't remember the book, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the jiva shakti in the, you know, pure state assisting, there's practically no difference between the shakti tattva and the jiva tattva.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Why there's no difference? Why? Yeah. Why in the jiva, in his pure state, in serving the internal potency, there's basically no difference seen? Probably gives the example of iron and fire. Right? It is iron. So you can still say it's iron. You could go to the spiritual world, walk through Braj and point out jiva, internal potency, jiva, internal potency. You could do that. But because it acts as fire, nobody cares. Nobody's worried Lalita Devi is internal potency and Rupa Manjari is a jiva. Nobody worries about it.
So
you know what I'm saying?
Still that distinction even in
There is the distinction is for us so that we break it down, because by breaking it down we remove mundane attachment. Then once we've addressed spiritual attachment, then we put it back together. And then when it's put back together, we don't worry about it. It's not important. Okay? So I have to end here for today. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Who's the author of that book? Really?
I think so much more.
So who made it? The name's very good.
I think they did it for the other one.
Wondering.
Figure it out. Yeah, that's probably it.